Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, this ain't parents out to lunch. No, this is parenting with the punch. Oh, this ain't parents out to lunch. No, this is parenting with the punch. Class is in session, please be seated. Behaviors that get attention, get repeated. Avoid the power struggle, cause it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda, cause she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't parents out to lunch. No, this is parenting with the punch. Oh, this ain't parents out to lunch. No, this is parenting with the punch. Yeah, yeah,
Hello and welcome to Parenting with a Punch Show. I am your host, Amanda Houle, founder of ParentingWithAPunch.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have a special guest, Dr. Juliana, who is the girl next door with a PhD, always up for a down and dirty conversation about sexuality, relationships, and intimacy. As a credentialed therapist, academic, and bona fide sex expert, Dr. Juliana has spent decades counseling and supporting thousands on their path to discover their own sexual agency. Let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Juliana.
Hi.
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 Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you today.
Yeah, same here. We had a little technical difficulties. Gotta love it. But we are here now. So please tell us all about the business and the work that you put out into the world.
Yeah, so I am a licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional counselor. And my work has a lot of variety in it. I do one-on-one work with clients through video conferencing with people all over the world. I do retreats. I speak. And I go with any topics that have to do with relationships, whether it is in relationships like marriages and couples, divorce, infertility, you name it. And I have talked about it, heard about it, and have a passion to help people with. But a lot of what I do too, and especially in the past 5 years, has been a focus on sexuality and helping people understand a deeper, more meaningful look at what sexuality is, why it's important to know about it and to examine it in your life.
Awesome. I love it. As you know, we've been doing a sex series since the beginning of the month and, you know, speaking with each of you, and it's just been absolutely amazing. And just so you're aware, and I'm sure it's going to continue, it is the most popular episodes on the podcast. So be prepared for that. No, go figure.
Yeah. Well, I want to give you kudos too, because with the work that you're doing, I am just so happy that as you are working with parents and working with families, that you know this topic is important and that you're not afraid to go there and that you're setting an example and then finding people out in the world too to be speaking about it. So props to you for knowing this to be talked about.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I've heard it from so many parents, you know, and especially with some of the younger parents with little, you know, younger children with, you know, well, when do we have time for sex? And it's like, oh, you know, I have yet to be married and have my own children as of yet, but I'm not exactly certain, but for me, it's just always been sort of a no-brainer and just been instinctual. I think I'm blessed in that sense. And after having a conversation with a client the other night, she was saying, you know, she follows me on my Facebook page and she saw that I was doing the sex series. And she's like, it's so great to see you on the other side and like speaking about this topic, because there's so many moms out there that don't put their relationships first and they don't. And she's like, it's great that you're talking about this. And you know, so thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, working in this topic, you have to be courageous and have a lot of strength too, because it can for some be a taboo topic.
Yes.
And so much shame and so much emotion as part of it. And if you're someone talking about sex, then there's all these kinds of things that come up for you and that people think about you. So again, kudos. And
yeah.
With all of the women that I work with, especially I could say like when I work with women and we do retreats, we're meeting privately and talking as you know, we're sitting on the couches and blankets and just sharing, it can take a little bit to open up. But yeah. I find especially for women within relationships, marriages or partnerships, that almost once you get to that place, you're not allowed to talk about the truth about your sex life. When you're single, when you can say stuff, but there's a little bit more room, it's fun, you're not breaching something. But when it's become the sacred thing in a committed relationship,
right?
Then all of a sudden you can't. But it doesn't mean the problems or the questions stop. Just for some people, it's harder to talk about because you don't want to be betraying your spouse, or you don't want people to know that part of their life, or you have this shame that's attached to it. So when I've gotten groups of women together to talk about it, again, like sometimes it takes a while to warm up. But once it is, I have found women and men too, but are hungry to share, to let it off their chest, to hear other people's experiences, whether it's the same or different, to be able to ask questions in a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
They walk out just feeling so much better and lighter and not alone, because so much of the problem is not having anyone to share it with and frankly, not having anybody ask.
Right. And being able to sort of like even open up that conversation with their partner. Right. So, I mean, how do you work through that, you know, with your clients or, you know, I mean, how do you sort of like start the process of opening up that conversation?
Yeah. And this is one of my favorite things to do. I love talking to people and saying, okay, so I want you to try this. And we practice it together, a new way of communicating about it. And I tell them what to say. And often they're like, this is so weird to just regurgitate what you're telling me. It's like, I know, but do it. Just
role playing.
Yes, role play this. And and I change it. When sometimes I act as them and I say, this is what I would want you to say to your spouse.
Yeah.
You switch it and say, you say it to me, and I'm going to be your spouse. And we're going to just practice on that. So that's in general, like how the technique is that I do. And you can do that with friends. You don't have to. For me, I like doing it as a therapist, but you can do it that you know. Mm-hmm. And get the kinks out first. But in my biggest tip that I tell people, and it sounds simple, but it is not always, it's not how we're taught. And the tip is that you need to start with what you want. And that doesn't mean I want you to do such and such. It is the want is the big picture want, not in the detail. So you look at, I want us to have this really rich and vibrant sex life with each other. Like that's the big want. Look, find what your big want is and come at it with your heart and with your words that this is a partnership we're working at together, not an adversarial thing, not the you are doing this wrong and not fulfilling this and you know, that kind of stuff, because you're just putting everyone on the defense and you're losing sight of what we're really talking about is we want to have a happy relationship. We want to feel vibrant. We want to feel connected, whatever the answer is to that want.
Right.
And then you go to the details. And again, like for me, like the golden rule of communication is the sandwich technique. You need to give the positives. And then anyway, I mean, it's not about BS. It's truly about something that you love about that person. Like, right. I love that I can come to you. And I know that even if I don't say it the right way, that you're going to hear me out. And if that's accurate.
Right.
Okay. But I'm feeling that our sex life has, whatever the answer is, it's a checklist. We're just kind of doing obligatory sex. And I want us to have that fire with each other like we used to have.
Right.
And I, you know, I think about how wonderful this one time when we had this great sexual connection and you did this and you end it with that. It's a positive about who you all are and who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
The middle thing that you want really changed. And then it's like ending it with a positive. And as simple as that sound, it changes the dynamic, especially if you have a pattern of not speaking at all about this, or you have a pattern of being shitty to each other and not communicating in a healthy, happy way with each other.
You just like hit the nail on the head with, first of all, I use the sandwich technique with my preschoolers in the past. You are like the first professional that I have come across that has also used that term. So I seriously, I love you for that. That is amazing.
Well, I used to be a kindergarten teacher, so it's probably,
there you go. You know, and you touched upon too, the communication piece, like in a healthy, happy way. And it really, it's about being able to communicate. Oh, we have a, Sandy saying, I'm always hungry to share. That's great, Sandy. Love to hear that. Sorry, I'm just seeing these comments now. All right, here we go. Raja's is here. Hello. I believe he's not exactly sure where he is, but.
Hello. You all.
But yeah, so, you know, just being able to like have that conversation and communicate it in like a healthy way with not coming at it, at, you know, as like an attack. And I think that's where that miscommunication lies a lot with families. Sandy's saying he hates it. Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, and that's okay too. I mean, it is true. And this is a generalization, but there is truth in this, is that for a lot of women, communicating and talking it out, because we are so wired through connection and understanding, mm-hmm. that we do want to talk it out. I mean, I certainly have been in a relationship, and as a therapist too, I really value talking. And he'd be like, oh, God, no, not more talking. And I did have to find a balance for me in my relationship of not over talking too much and having to talk everything out, or having my partner to be the person I talk about. But then sometimes that's the only way. It is literally the only way that we can solve something. So another thing that I wanted to say too is about the communication when you're talking. There's two more things I want to say about the wanting.
Yes.
And that is that I have found that if you can say, listen, I'm not going to say this right, and I may fumble on my words, and I know you may too, and I'm wanting us to learn how to do this communication mm-hmm. better. And let's be kind through that. If I say something off or it makes you upset, like, let's just kind of like a peace in that. And the same with you. Like, I'm going to do my best. If we go back to our old patterns or we bring up stuff, let's have like an agreement of forgiveness in this mm-hmm. and room to change and learn how to change. Because when you're trying to change your communication with someone, it's not going to be perfect like that.
Absolutely not. Nope.
Up front really helps people loosen up, because I have found with couples, a lot of the work I could do is unwinding the fears they have of their fighting.
Right.
And these entrenched fighting techniques that are typically horrible. So they're going to that, and they are ready to go. I mean, just like, let me put my dukes up and I'm going to get you. Because last fight, I didn't get the jabbing that I wanted to. And you put that stuff away and really like speak from heart to heart and soul to soul, which is often acknowledging, I'm not going to get this right, but my heart is right.
Right.
And I want us to figure this out. That can often help. And another thing is that if you kind of broach the topic, whatever the topic is, with not just what the issue is, like naming it, like, this is a topic, this is actually a very common topic that I have, that of one of the couples not feeling comfortable with the other person's masturbating. Mm. And they're not doing it or doing it too much, or why do you do it? And that topic is, it can be very taboo, and we're not taught how to talk about it, especially in parenting and partnership.
Yes.
That you don't just name it. You wouldn't just say, I want you not to masturbate anymore. That wouldn't be how you say it.
Right.
I want us to be able to talk about it. I think we have different needs or different views of it. And I'm so embarrassed to bring this up if it's awkward, but I want us to be able to share this because if it's important to you in your lives, I want us to be able to be on the same page and understanding each other.
Right.
So you bring that kind of that wanting topic up, but then it's very helpful if you have an idea of a solution or a replacement for it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you come in with an agenda.
Right.
Sometimes when I see, I'll have couples in front of me start a conversation just so I can observe it. And it's basically just like, I don't like this. And then I can teach them what I want. But then the other partner's like, okay, but I don't know any other way of doing this. So what are we supposed to do differently?
Right.
And so if you can start it with some ideas of how this can change and shift, then that often helps do it. And again, if you start it not with, this is how I want it to be, this is how it's going to be, I'm throwing an idea out. I want to hear yours too.
Right. Now, do you typically find, when couples come to you, together, obviously, as opposed to individually, that they're sort of at their breaking point, or is it just, I'm assuming that they are both on the same page and wanting to be there, or is it typically one is sort of pushing the other because they're trying to work out something, or I'm sure it varies, but
it does vary. And it's one of the first questions I ask is, what is our motive here? And,
yeah.
And for those, are we in crisis? Is this maintenance? Is this a topical thing, or is this a chronic thing?
Right.
And once I find that out, and typically couples are not on the same page when they first come in the door.
Yeah.
And the work is figuring out what's our common goal, what's the common ground here.
Mm-hmm.
But it rarely gets to the point that there's, a huge divergence, unless the topic is, are we staying together or are we not? And then
right.
I never do know how that's going to end up until we're through the journey together.
Of course, yeah. And, for those that do take that journey together and it's never going to be perfect, but when they've made progress, are they now back on the same page?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And or in a place learning that having differences and having challenges like that at different points of view isn't the worst thing in the world.
Right.
I like reframing differences of opinion. Mm-hmm. Parenting styles that you think as a plus.
Yes.
And saying that, okay, so this person has this skill set and this one doesn't. Let's use that as a great thing for this family, for the parenting, for the relationship, instead of oh my goodness, this is the worst thing in the world.
Right.
We have to have the same values. And that is something that truly can't be fixed in therapy, and it can't, and really you're going to come up against each other constantly.
Yeah.
But perspectives, backgrounds, views, those goals, that kind of stuff, often you can really work with that with each other. And as you and I spoke when we first met, for me, some of my most valued time in the work that I do is when I feel like I have helped a couple stay together happily and with choice, that they have chosen happily to stay together and to spend, to keep the family and the goals together. And that is, sometimes they need to end. And that feels like, it feels like a helpful thing too. But
yeah, right. Because, for me, obviously, depending on, the couple, obviously. But I don't see as much of the families with the younger children reaching out. And what I'm finding through speaking with more, professionals sort of like in the realm of our industry and doing this, this line of work, is they wait until, it's not too late, but their children are a little bit older and they've been dealing with these issues for so long. And it just breaks my heart because we obviously have such a high divorce rate. And a lot of times, somebody is pushing or pulling and not wanting to like put in that work. And as we know, all relationships, it's work. Like you're constantly, you know, putting energy into it and doing what you have to do to be happy.
I agree. And I, you know, I'm so happy that there's the trend in the world that when you have a pregnancy and or adoption, that you're going through the parenting process and you're taking parenting classes and birthing classes and newborn classes. I wish it was the trend also to take have a keep your marriage happy with kids class as you're building the family. And especially when you're going to have another child into it, that it's like, I wish it was mandatory.
Yes.
And it's like, how to keep yourself happy, sane, and liking the person that you have these kids with and wanting to grow together. Because what parenting adds to the mix, as well as you're aging as you're having your kids.
So right.
You're changing. But kids have create a different focus.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be differences, but sometimes kids can really highlight those differences. That's normal. That's not a death sentence. But since we're not in a place that people are talking about it, and we're not saying expect this to happen. Now here are the tools to help not make it be so painful and awful, and so you're not so isolated with each other.
Yep. No, I agree. And I am going to do my damnedest to continue to keep that level of open communication and giving these parents the support, you know, and hopefully in my first parenting book that's launching this summer, I'll be tackling some of those things because like you said, there is not that conversation. It's just like, let's choose to have children. And then we have, you know, there's no discussion about it prior, which is also something that I'm trying to change to give couples that support, you know, prior to having their first children, or maybe they're adopting, or, you know, fostering and they've never had children before, but those conversations need to be had and they're just not. So I hope that changes. And I think we're on that path, but
and I do too.
Take some time.
Yeah, like the work that you're doing. And I love knowing the families that are seeking you out and knowing that someone like you can be there to support them. And there's no shame in that. In fact, it's so wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. There's someone like you supporting them. And I mean, the gift that you're giving to people is really priceless. It is. I have worked in clinics. I mean, I really do mean that.
In fertility clinics.
And one of the courses that I offered was how to get through the process and still like your partner. and like, you know, like you go through all this to have a baby and then you're not speaking and you can't stand each other because you've been through so much. And mm-hmm. I think that's also through parenting too, is that we think that, you know, you're so lovey, this is the next phase, you have kids that come into it, this is how everyone is doing things. And you don't realize just the one thing of sleep deprivation.
Right.
What that can do. Or lack of connection with each other. Or mm-hmm. maybe a postpartum depression that's coming into it.
Right.
Or you have a kid that has a personality that is hard for you.
Yes.
Hard for one parent and not hard for the other.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden one's the good parent, which isn't true, and one's the bad parent, or one's overwhelmed, and one is just like, this is great. And how do you navigate that and then still feel good about yourself?
Yes.
So that you can still feel good about offering yourself sexually and deeply and soulfully with your partner.
Yeah.
Do laundry and, you know, have friends and, you know, all of that. I mean, it's really a lot.
It is a lot. Now, I want to bring up the topic too of orgasms, because I feel like, I mean, at least in the past, I've heard, you know, a lot of women say that, you know, they have trouble having them or they're faking them. Or, I mean, what do you hear like through clients as far as, you know, is that sometimes an issue as to why some of the women don't feel as sexual because they're not feeling, you know, that they're able to tune into their bodies? And
yes, I mean, especially moms. I mean, we don't have children and
freedom,
desire and all of that, but in particular talking about parents.
Yes.
They are having a hard time navigating the hormonal changes that last for more than just the newborn phase. I mean, there is years of hormonal changes,
mm-hmm.
new relationship with their body. For someone, if we're talking about the beginning phases of it, depending on how their pregnancy and birth went, there can be a lot of physical and mental healing. and how they view themselves as a mother, what kind of connection they had with their baby. Some do it very easily. Others, it's a slow burn into that.
Right.
They part a baby that's high needs and they weren't expecting that. All those kinds of things. And then you're expected to go from that to relaxing into a sexual experience that gives you an orgasm and pleasure. That can be really hard to get to that. It really can be. So a lot of what I work too is helping women move from avoiding it altogether. It's not worth it, and faking it so that their partner is just like, I've just done it. Like, check, it's off the list.
Right.
It's just not important to me. Like, there's just more important pressing things to it also. To saying, I get that. And I do get it. And it does. This is not a one size fits all. There's not not a description that I can write that say, this is a good sex life. This is a good empowered sexual woman. It's about creating that definition for yourself. And that's the number one thing, because so much for women, we are told what our sexuality should be, what our sex life should feel like. And that all comes into that encounter in the bedroom. A lot of women use alcohol and to kind of just get into that. And that also is a removing process too. I mean, there's a place for it for sure, but there's also a way to not have that. And then there's the letting go. Like, I actually, for some women, depending on how entrenched it is, I literally have them before they get into their bedroom, have a paper, and they are just sit like in the kitchen table and they write all of the to-do list out and they dump it. They dump it into that notebook.
Right.
Either they just keep a notebook there or they throw it out or whatever it is. And they have a purposeful, intentional way to walk into the bedroom to have a sexual experience, either with themselves or with their partner. And it's just, again, like, a lot of my work is convincing women that this is still important, that it's important for themselves in, like, internally to feel connected to who they are and their vibrancy as a sexual being. Their partner, that you do not want to lose that connection with your partner. And that means you, in learning how not to fake it the majority of the time.
Right.
And how to not feel guilty about having pleasure.
Yeah. I thank you for that, because I think a lot of women, you know, that's some of the stigma of, you know, what they're experiencing, you know, and of course men experience it too, I'm sure, as far as, you know, maybe the older they get or, but it's just, you know, back to the importance of really making sure that your relationship is a priority, and the communication and the sex is a huge part of that.
And again, like, for women, it's really about learning how not to lose yourself in the process of becoming a parent and being a parent. And that pleasure is your birthright, and it's not selfish. It's not going to hurt your kid. In fact, it's going to be great. And sometimes, I work always with where they are. And sometimes the only way I can get a woman to really believe me until they experience themselves is to say, I know you want this example for your children.
Right.
And they'll go through the history of what they saw with their parent or their mother. And not everyone has that. I mean, some women are raised with mothers who are sexually confident and they're not, but not a lot of women are. And so I talk about that. Like, look what you're having to heal from, to learn from, to relearn. Aren't we all wanting to change that for the next generations? And that can often be the link too. If you're a little girl, don't you, like, wanting to feel good about your body and wanting them to see you be affectionate with your spouse and not just an obligatory, hi, come back tonight, whatever, but like, really.
Yeah. And that is a really, really important piece too, you know, especially for, you know, parents of women, you know, raising little girls is creating that healthy, you know, concept, like, in knowing their body and, like, knowing that it's not just, you know, to be treasured, and, like, creating those healthy sexual, because, I mean, I think a lot of it, I think you're right. A lot of it does sort of pass down from, you know, from our parents, from our mothers, whether or not they, you know, were a little bit open about their sexuality, and, you know, of course looks different, but I do think that that's really important, because I see it and I've heard it. Like, it's so evident. in some of this.
I want to give you an example of, like, how complicated that process is, so that people who are listening to this know that it's not just this one simple thing. So I do this spider web with my clients.
Yeah.
And so it also because I don't want them to feel like it's one more thing they're doing wrong.
Yes.
And I don't want it to be this is wrong or bad and you're responsible for this. It's you know, removing the shoulds and all of that.
Yes.
You just say, no wonder, like, let's have compassion for you. Look what you're doing. And so we do things like logistics about mm-hmm. what is your bedroom like? And do you have privacy? Because there's a lot of people too, like, how do I get into like having this kind of deep, dirty sex when, you know, my 10-year-old could come in and I do not need my 10-year-old seeing me doing this kind of stuff. I don't mind doing it, but you know, that kind of thing. And so it's like, how secure is your door?
Right.
And what kind of rules have you set about when the door is shut or locked about knocking?
Mm-hmm.
I think someone on their list was a cat. They had a cat that was actually worse than their kids. And that had to open the door and then like, we'd like stare at them. And she's like, I can't deal with it. So we actually had a plan on what to do with the cat. And so there's that. And then there are a lot of, I work with a lot of families who do co-sleeping. It's like, what do we do? How do we have sex mm-hmm. when we have our child sleeping in bed with us? And
yes.
So work through that, of what that feels like, what feels right for that couple,
mm-hmm.
and how to handle that. And that's a very individual thing.
Yes.
Those logistics. Then it's also emotional things. Like, you know, how are you, well, actually, let's talk about your body. How are you feeling about your body? What are the things that are sensitive to you? What are your confident things? And with the same, with another client, after having twins, she didn't feel good about how her breasts had changed. Like before kids, they had sex and she was often on top. But somehow she got a view of herself that way and it freaked her out. And she's like, don't like how my boobs look hanging like this. So no longer am I going to give my husband that view. And my belly's different. But that was their go-to position. And they didn't talk about it. She's like, I don't know how to tell him because he's going to say, no, you're beautiful. And that's not going to change the dial for me at all because I feel bad about this. So we talk about just those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the layers in between you so that you don't feel safe and that you have resentment? What resentments in the relationship are preventing you from letting go and receiving pleasure and that kind of thing? And so we had that as a part of the web too. And what I have found is when women can sit down and like look at a piece of paper, I do an exercise in compassion about it and acknowledgement of how much there is between here where you feel and where you want to be. And then like, okay, now let's get to it. Let's get at the themes that we can start removing and healing and changing so that we can get from here to there. And it works.
Yeah. That definitely seems like the best way to sort of, you know, go about it or because I just, yeah. Everything that you said is just is just so pertinent. I know so many of our, and I want to give the opportunity to if anyone's on here, do ask any questions. But I'm not sure if anyone is live. But can you share with us too your website is drjuliana.com. Spell it out for us.
Yeah, it's dr then a dash. And then Juliana, JULIANA.com. Same, Dr. Juliana is on my Facebook professional page too. Another thing I want to talk about orgasms is
yes.
That I do a lot of teaching of anatomy that we were not taught.
Yes.
And how, first of all, we should really know the intricacies of our clitoral system. We should know mm-hmm. about our pelvic muscles. All of that relates to pleasure. And I'm somebody that I did not have a very good mind-body connection. I'm always amazed with people who have that, but I had to really teach myself that.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a visual of how like your muscle structure, your PC muscle structure is, really seeing the clitoral system and then translating your anatomy to how that makes sense in your pleasure.
Right.
I have seen that make huge change. And there's a lot of sex, there's a lot of that trend happening in sex ed, but still we're for those like 30s to 50s, we weren't given that.
Right.
And so I teach that and I like to have everyone ask questions, like all the questions that you couldn't ask and felt embarrassed of, and that your gynecologist or for some women, midwives, that we're not in the position or they don't have time to ask you in our appointments. Ask
right.
me now. And it's great because literally I've never had someone ask a question that everyone else is like, oh, right. Yes. Why aren't we taught that? And there's usually like, I have to give time now for like the outrage that people have of why weren't we taught this and what does that mean? And then I have an addendum of how to find healthy and positive healthcare providers that are going to be sex positive, that are going to be CMO body positive.
I love that. I think that is so, so, so important. And I, just like anything, I strongly believe in education. If we don't have, you know, if we're not skilled in an area, you know, for instance, you know, in parenting or in sex, that's not your expertise, there's nothing wrong with seeking out that support. I mean, luckily I've always been somebody that, you know, if I'm not good at something, I will hire it out for it because that's not my specialty and I have no problem, you know, asking for help. But I think that's also something that we struggle with as a society, especially in this area, because, you know, it really kind of like falls under the mental health and, it's hard.
It is. And I have started conversations with some medical schools and really the trend, most medical students are not given anything about sexuality in their education. And if they are not going into gynecology, they don't have a very long education about mm-hmm. even how to talk to a woman, how to ask the questions. And I'm wanting to change that. And there's a starting trend with that.
Right.
Let alone are medical students even comfortable with their own sexuality? So I am like really wanting to teach medical students how to be comfortable with their sexuality, because if just like as a parent, if you're not comfortable with your own sexuality, talking to others about it's going to be really hard. And that goes in our medical community as well as parents. And so getting aware and knowing yourself that way is so key, really key in that. And for women, I know it can be really hard with insurance and it can be a real pain if you're used to somebody, but I love teaching women that you can change providers and work within the system to find somebody that you feel comfortable enough asking the questions you have to ask, really staying up for yourself and to have good healthcare. And that's just pivotal.
Yep. No, I agree. And you touched upon in medical school. So the same thing applies, because I've actually heard this from quite a few. The same thing is like pediatricians or developmental pediatricians have that further training, but regular pediatricians or, you know, even with like child psychology, they don't go through an extensive amount of training. And I don't think a lot of, you know, adults sort of know that piece, and they think that, you know, because they have that expertise that, you know, that they must have this specialty. And that's why we have specialties.
Right.
Under the umbrella.
But I have so many experiences that I went through a round of asking women to tell me experiences with gynecologists or anything. I mean, the stories were horrific. And so I mean, there's so much healing that has to be involved with all of that, and it shuts women down.
Right.
But there are a lot of wonderful providers. We just aren't really taught how to advocate for ourselves, and we feel bad, and it's a pain, and you're so busy. Anyone, like, I can't even imagine having to try to find five, let alone figure out how my insurance is going to allow me to do like all of that. But it is worth it if you are in a community where you can find that. And if not, there are online communities too that can help you also to advocate for yourself.
Now you said you have a resource. Is that on your website, or is it like when clients work directly with you?
Oh yes. I just mean like, I walk them through how
to. Gotcha. Okay.
There actually, when you talk about resources, there's two things I want to talk about, two books I want to recommend. If you're looking about anatomy, or just like your system in general that I love and I have my clients read. The first is called The Clitoral Truth. And it's by Rebecca Chalker. And there's a new version that just came out of it. And I think it was written 20 years ago, but it's in depth and easily readable. Like it's medically inclined, but it's so digestible.
Right.
It's great diagrams. And it is my go-to. When I was a college professor, I used that as one of my textbooks. That's how good it is.
Cool.
And then another one by Emily Nagasaki, who is fantastic. And if you all haven't heard of her, you've got to look her up. She's a professor, and she's hilarious. Her book is called Come As You Are, and it's great anatomy, but it's also about libido and desire, and about sexuality in general. And She's just fantastic. You'll laugh and you'll see yourself in it. And it's definitely one of those books that you don't put down. You read it and you feel like you have learned a lot. And so if you can't, I mean, I recommend those two to everybody, but if you can't in your community, or those two books are I recommend highly.
Oh, that is amazing. Thank you. I'm definitely going to have that in my resource. Thank you so much for that. Okay. So what would you say, or what would be your number one tip for even to begin navigating the process if a couple is not having a active sexual life and they are struggling and they're aware of it?
Well, my answer takes about an hour. You put this quote up recently, and I wasn't sure if it was a quote from the interview or a quote that you just agree with. And I was like, yes. But I really do feel that the best thing you can do for your kids is to have a very solid, fulfilled marriage or a partnership. And so teaching and giving couples the permission to put their relationship first. Mm-hmm. And sometimes how I say it is, you're putting the family first, and part of the family is the couple. Because I get a lot of pushback sometimes from people because they're like, no, kids are the most important thing. Like, no. Putting your relationship as an important part of this does not put your kids aside. But right. I'm telling you, if you don't, you keep saying to me, your kids are most important. And I mean, I've been a single parent, so I've provided a great experience for my kids too.
Right.
I know that the preference for me and for most is to have an intact family from what you started to through that. And if you don't put a priority, and I mean a meaningful priority, on your relationship, not just lasting, but being fulfilling, I don't personally feel like that's putting your kids first. And that's a strong statement to make, and not everybody agrees with me. But
no, I can't, you know, and I actually just, I wrote it in my newsletter when I was sharing our interview this morning, was that like that exact statement. If, you know, sorry, not sorry. This is something that you have to do. And, you know, I think just through the experience of being in and out of so many homes, and sort of when I, you know, really focused on the four pillars of the business, I noticed that it, you know, the families that were having difficulty were, you know, it was evident that they really weren't putting their relationships first. Now, don't get me wrong. I have families that, you know, they have a solid relationship, and that's why they're also seeking me out, because they want to make it better. You know, they're struggling with some things. They're both on the same page. And ideally, those are the clients that I work with, you know, the parents that are ready and willing to make that change. They're just struggling in some certain areas with their children and they want some extra help. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, and again, it's just been instinctual for me, you know, putting your relationship first. You have to, because your relationship was there before the kids.
Yes. And again, like kind of like I was saying before about your sexuality, is that the kids will feel safer. The kids will feel happier when they can see and feel that you all are okay. And that doesn't mean that your relationship is perfect. And it doesn't mean you're going on date nights every night. It means that the general spirit of the home and of the family is that the parents are on board with each other, and that they value each other, that they want each other to be happy. And that gift carries forth to the children, and they are enveloped and included into that family value. And as a little part of that too, and I don't mean little as in importance, but is that your sex life is going to be an important part of creating that fulfillment for the family. It is. Right. There is a reason why we have sex, and it's a reason why we talk about it and don't talk about it a lot too. And it is, for me, it's your sexuality. Knowing who you are as a sexual person is key to having that sexual connection with somebody else. And knowing that it's changing and fluid, and that it is complicated, but worthy of exploration, examination, and time. That is so key to then being able to have that with each other. And just creating a kindness to each other inside the bedroom and outside the bedroom.
I mean, you said it's a gift, and it really is, because when you're able to recognize that, you know, it's quality of life and, you know, we all have a choice, but if we want to be able to be those role models and we want to live a healthy, happy, fulfilling life, and, you know, and you want to be married and you want to be in a committed relationship, then those, these pieces are crucial. And you, and at least I know for me, and I'm sure you can agree, you know, when I am having sex, I do feel a difference.
Yeah. And sharing yourself authentically with somebody, doing what you want to be doing and going up as you want to be, and then being seen and being experienced as that woman too. I mean, there is such a vibrancy of your sex life that carries forth in all areas, that spark within you.
Yes.
And, I mean, yeah. And you're flooding yourself with amazing hormones and you're healthier and it's a form of exercise and it's a fun, useful thing also to create with each other. And it is palpable when a couple gets that right, to their kids, to their friends, in their work. It is. And that doesn't mean you're off having wild, hot sex all the time.
Right.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
Also just, it means you're authentically connected and soulfully connected. If you are, you are going to be having great soulful sex. You just will be. And it takes work to do that.
Yes.
And that's not the bad news. That's the good news.
Right. No, I agree. I loved having you. This is such an amazing show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The
chance to talk.
We seriously could talk for hours. And I really do look forward to collaborating more. I mean, this has been great and so insightful for all the viewers that were able to tune in, that are going to catch the replay, catch the audio on all the podcast platforms. So thank you so much.
Thank you for the work that you're doing also. I really do admire it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that is our other episode in the sex series. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was so much fun today. As always, keep asking for more. Go to my website, learn about my couples retreat, Costa Rica. You want to be there. ParentingWithAPunch.com. Have a great day, y'all.
Yo, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Class is in session. Please be seated. Behaviors that get attention get repeated. Avoid the power struggle because it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda because she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.